You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Well, up next, with the upcoming election nearing, healthcare is a major issue. Producer Jack Marshall spoke to the Executive Director of the Association of Salaried Medical Specialists, Ian Powell, about how our health sector is struggling with and how it's doing well.
Well, the strength of our public health system is that it's universal. It has a pretty good legislative framework. The district health board system, by international standards, is a good system, and I think we do provide we certainly punch above our weight in terms of what we provide for the health dollar. So there is a positive side to our health system, at least at a macro level.
What are the main points you think we need to work on specifically?
Well, I think there are two broad areas. One is that we are underfunded by a significant amount. In real terms, once you take into account population growth, health inflation and other factors, we have lost about $1.5 billion from our from District Health Board funding since 2010. So that's highly significant, and the system has been struggling on the oil of a dirty rag, really, for quite some time, and it's producing its stresses and strains. The second thing is that we have a major failure in leadership, both at a political level and at a District Health Board level. We should be having what we call clinical leadership, where senior doctors and other health professionals are actively involved in decision making beyond their immediate clinical practice, in a way that could actually improve systems quite significantly and improve funding, better value for the health dollar. And we are failing there badly. A third area is the failure in workforce development. Health is an area that's highly labour-intensive. Its real value comes from the work that doctors, the dentists, that nurses and many other health professionals do. And yet the workforce is being neglected. It's just expected to do more and more. There is an absence of workforce planning and development in the country, and that is another major deficiency.
I think an important point you touched on just then was this kind of severely underfunded system, because we're hearing all these promises from all the parties saying they're going to invest, you know, $100 million in this sector or that sector, but it's kind of just topping up an already empty tank. So how far behind are we with the funding?
Well, we are, as I said, if we pumped in $1.5 billion now, we would go overnight. We would go some way to correct that. There needs to be a fuller assessment of unmet need, and that's a big unknown factor. We know that there is increasing amounts of unmet need, despite our public hospitals being busier and busier, for a range of reasons, including the ageing of the population, the growing of the population, and the sustained impact of poverty, that the demand on public hospital services is increasing. So we actually need to look at very closely what the funding level should be, not only to keep the system going, but to actually meet the need in the communities where people are suffering poor health, and we need to turn that around.
Just kind of moving on to something like one of the biggest topics this election is mental health. Mm. So I was really wanting to know how we're doing at the moment, and are we moving forward with that?
Well, there is a lot of innovation in mental health by psychiatrists, by psychologists and by nurses and others. That's very, very encouraging. But like other services, mental health is seriously underfunded. But there's also a bit of stigma in respect of mental health that it makes it more difficult to actually get a sharper focus on in terms of funding needs. Having said that, I think that there is a lot of maturity in the public to know that they do value mental health services. And as a result, I think that the public themselves would be acutely aware of the need to better fund our mental health system.
Do you know who is actually being affected the most by mental health? Because I know there's a lot of talk at the moment about the youth being affected by things like youth suicide and things like that. But what about kind of the older population? Because
I wouldn't want to say who's been worse affected. It's not quite my area of expertise, but I do know that whether they're working in child health or you're working with children, young adults or older people, psychiatrists are simply very, very busy regardless of the age of their patients and their families. Mental health is really comprehensive in terms of its impact because there are few people that don't have someone in their family or know of or have a friend or know of people who have some level of mental health issues. The campaigns by people like John Kerwin and others, and Mike King, to speak out more on mental health are having an effect for the better.
Just finally, I think, if you could have a wish list for the next government to act on, if there's like three things you could really see done, what would they be?
Increase the number of specialists working in our public hospitals because we have a 50% burnout rate of specialists in public hospitals, and that's just simply not sustainable in terms of safe patient care. It's not sustainable financially either. The second thing would be to make a significant investment in the workforce, the public hospital workforce as a whole, in order to better utilise these skills. And also recognise that they are, like everybody else in society, getting older and looking to leave employment in the not-too-distant future. And if we can keep them happily working a bit longer, that would be a great outcome. And the third one, I guess, would be, I'll make four. The third one is to focus sharply on the needs of the general practitioner workforce. There are significant shortages there and many looking to leave and retire. And fourthly, our nursing workforce also needs a sharp focus as well. There are increasing indications of serious fatigue issues, at least possibly burnout with the nursing workforce in our public hospitals.
Almost every party from New Zealand First, Labour, National, they're all looking at implementing kind of cheaper GP visits. And I was just thinking, could this, if the larger issues aren't addressed, this could have negative effects on the whole system by more people trying to access an already overburdened system. Is that kind of what could happen?
No. Well, no. I think what the various political parties are saying in that respect is good, and it's good to get those fees down as low as possible, if not remove them. Because what it does do is it increases access to general practitioners, to primary care. And that means that early intervention reduces the likelihood of some of those people having to go on to a public hospital. On the other hand, side of the coin, and this is not a bad thing, but it's a consequence we have to plan for, the more people general practitioners see through greater access to GP care, on the one hand, some will be fixed up earlier on, but others will be identified as needing to go to the hospital for care, for treatment. And while that's a good thing that's detected rather than not detected, it will put pressure on our public hospital system as well.
So we definitely need a holistic approach.
It's not a criticism of reducing fees, but it does mean that there has to be a bit more planning than would otherwise be the case.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.